We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show episode. Oh, I don't have the number written down. All I know is the Yankees swept the Twins yet again. Scott, we're back home instead of at the game, so it's a completely different animal for a post-game podcast as far as that's concerned, because we actually saw all the details of what happened, and I'm glad we were able to watch this game on TV and the blowouts at the game where we could just, you know, have fun with everyone, because this was a tense game.
It was a tense game, and I'm glad that I was able to watch this at home as well, because it was a fun game to watch, honestly. I like the tense games that are not, don't get me wrong, I like the laughers as well, but I like this high intensity stuff in the playoffs. It's good for your soul, it's bad for your sleep, but it's great baseball. And the Yankees kind of opened it up at the end, but it was good stuff, man. And they did exactly what we thought they would do. Is they went over to Minnesota, and Seve, while he wasn't the sharpest in the very beginning, he really fell into it and started dominating. So it was good, man. It was good stuff. There were some things that were some head scratchers on my side, but yeah, it was a good showing by the boys.
Yeah, it's just I was going back through some old tweets back to when in May I was getting into it with some Twins fans, saying I'm not and never will be afraid of the Twins. So I gave those the old retweet that I could just pile on the Twins' graves. But it is amazing how much the Yankees just own the Twins in the postseason. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it.
No, it's, is it 15 or 16 in a row now for them consecutive?
It's a crap ton. It's a crap ton.
But I mean, for them consecutive in the playoffs, it's unbelievable how long the streak has gone on. And when you see, you know, in the beginning of the game with Jake Cave making that attempt of a dive at a ball that's, you know, 10 feet in front of him, you're looking at that and you're like, well, you see these things in back against the wall situations. You make dumb moves like that. Like, that's why you lose that many games against to a team like the Yankees. It's sheer domination.
Also, you leave the bases loaded in the second inning with nobody out. That's the turning point in the game as far as the Twins go. I mean, you can't do that if you're in an elimination game.
Well, they didn't have much of a choice because Severino all of a sudden said, I'm going to start pitching now. He said he got mad at himself or mad at somebody or somebody tweaked exactly what they needed to do in that guy's brain, because it was one of those situations you're thinking back, you're like, uh-oh, against the Twins now, he's in the second inning. We're seeing, you know, all these demons possibly coming back from the ALC, or I'm sorry, from the 2017 wild card game. And, you know, what he did is he just stopped. He's like, I'm done. I'm done with that bullshit. I'm Luis Severino. And then just dominated.
I mean, it's a great win. Severino did not look good.
After that inning, he looked good.
You're going to try and spin? No, that's not true. He also got into a huge jam in the third inning.
Look, his stuff was coming out of his hand beautifully. And in the fourth inning, it was his best inning. The fourth inning was by far his best inning.
He looked
phenomenal.
And I think it was the right move not to bring him out for the fifth inning. It would have been the third time through the order. And he did get the first two guys out easily in the fourth inning. And then on the last one, it was, I think, Rosario hit a ball down the line that DJ made a nice play on. I mean, the defense was spectacular. That's the highlight of the game, is the defense.
The defense was very good today, absolutely. You said the fifth inning you would have left him. I definitely would have brought him back out. He was at, I think, 83 pitches, 84 pitches.
Yep.
Is that what he ended with? And when I see when he's pitching at his absolute best at that point, I mean, he could have easily gone out there. And not only that, but what bothers me so much is that you tell the pitcher right after he comes in, that's it. You know what? Why can't we just see it was such a quick inning, a half inning as well, that he could have easily gone back out there.
It's
impossible for me to nitpick. I'm not that guy. It's just these are comments I'm having during the game. But I definitely would have brought him back out at least to start the fifth.
I don't know. I mean, it's
when you see what transpired in the fifth inning, that was what was infuriating to me.
Well, it's crazy that they had to go through both Canely and Ottavino to get a total of two outs. Ottavino got nobody out.
Right.
Was it a total of one out?
It was Chad Green got one out.
So Canely got two outs, but he was giving up hard contact.
Yeah, well, his first at bat, it was I think it was JK, right? Right field wall. Ended up being a single, but it was a smack against the wall.
And then Ottavino comes in and walks Cruz, mm-hmm. and they pull him right away. That's the second time that's happened in this series.
And you could tell what Cruz's approach was in that at bat.
Don't swing at sliders.
Nope, I'm spitting on that slider, and he better throw it for a strike. And there was a ball, I think it was the second pitch, that was a strike in the top of the zone that was not called. Umpire was pretty good, I thought, all day. He wasn't really calling that high strike, but he walked him on, you know, it was a quick at bat, and Nelson Cruz went up there basically like, you're going to have to give me what I want for me to swing the bat.
Right, but so they had to go to Green, who bridged a couple, you know, an inning plus, actually got him into the seventh inning, and then Britton, who made a nice play covering the bag, and then leaves with, they're calling it an ankle?
Yeah, they said an ankle injury. I was just really hoping it's not the Achilles. I mean,
it was weird because he comes back out for the eighth, gives up the home run, and then leaves. It's like you saw him grimacing walking off the mound in the seventh, and they brought him back out. So you're like, okay, he's fine. But then he leaves a ball up, and it goes out of the park, and then he leaves with a quote injury. I don't know.
Well, his last pitch to Nelson Cruz in the seventh inning, was a horrible pitch, and it was up in the zone, and he barely, Nelson Cruz missed the ball, but it was over the plate, and it was
talking about the comebacker?
Yes. That pitch was over the plate. Nelson Cruz absolutely could have smacked that and just missed it. he left the ball over the zone and got lucky against him. And he was leaving a couple pitches up, but I don't know what's going on with Andrew. Hopefully it's nothing, and he's got time to rest now. So that's let's just hope it's that.
It's set up perfectly for the Yankees, where they have 4 days off, right? 4 days, five. It starts on Saturday. The ALCS starts on Saturday.
Yeah,
and hopefully this Tampa Astros.
We need one more, baby. Keep going.
Goes five, because people are already saying, "Oh, it's set up where the Astros are burning Verlander." And yeah, they are, but he could still pitch game two if they win. So that doesn't really change anything. Instead of Verlander going one, Cole two, it's going to go Cole one, Verlander two. But if the Rays can push a game five, they're going to have to throw Gerrit Cole. Then that is absolutely massive for the ALCS.
It's a huge deal. So we absolutely need the Rays to beat, because Verlander's on short rest tomorrow, right?
Yep.
And so then you do that. Then you got to throw Cole again. In a decisive game. And now you're looking at, one, you got to win the game, because it's anybody's. It's a game seven at that point, game five, whatever. And your pitching's all screwed up. Greinke just got knocked around a little bit. I love it. I love it. I need mayhem. I need absolute mayhem in that series.
Yeah, there's nothing better than you can just rest at home, kick your feet up, and we get a nice game at 7 p.m. tomorrow instead of 8:40 at night. We're recording this. It's after 1 in the morning. We can just root for mayhem, like you just said.
Yeah, no, that's it. I said Britain in the 6th. It was Britain 7th going into the 8th. But the some of the pitching things that were bothering me, I thought Boone had a quick hook today, and it worked out. I mean, it did, so... There's you really can't say too much, but it, I think.
So
it,
you thought he had a quick hook with Severino?
I thought he had a quick hook with a lot of guys. I think, so he went quick hook. I thought quick hook on Severino, especially when you see a guy that's coming into his own. And you know what we've seen already is he started out slow a couple times and really found that zone. And I don't think, you know, the difference between 83 pitches and he was good for up to 100 pitches. He could have gotten, if you're looking at pitch count and pitch count alone, he definitely could have gotten to that 100. Probably would have been, you know, one more inning, if not close to it.
But wouldn't he have had to face the top of the order again?
Yeah, fine. At that point, when he was throwing the way he was, the first.
Why do you keep saying that? It's not like he was throwing great.
Yes, he was.
He did not have
bullshit.
He did not have command of his fastball all game.
Andrew, the fourth inning was dominant. That the fastball that the ball that was hit down the line was. You know, that was a fastball that whoever it was, was it Rosario that we said, that LeMahieu caught? He was laid on a fastball and cut it down the line. Like, it wasn't a bad pitch. He was pitching very well. He was peaking out at that point. He easily could have gone one more inning, and I think we would have seen probably a clean inning. And honestly, if you're looking at the way he was going through the rotation, through the lineup the first time, like, they didn't see that same guy. That was a different guy in the fourth inning. Than he was in the first inning. So, you know, the third time through wasn't a big deal to me.
I think he just escaped trouble so many times, first, second, and third innings. He had to escape trouble that Boone didn't want to risk it again. And I actually agreed with it, because I didn't like what I saw overall out of Severino. Just too much trouble. Too many base runners, not enough command of his fastball.
Either way.
I'm not saying he sucked. I'm just saying that I think it was the right time to pull him.
Either way. The fourth inning was his... by far his best inning. And then you bring in Canley, and then you get rid of him, and then you take out Ottavino immediately. What I don't like about that is now you just burn two of your best relievers in the fifth inning.
Oh,
and,
yeah, it certainly
got,
put him in a tough spot.
And we got
spot.
A long-ass game going on ahead of us. So I just saw this coming down to the, you know, eighth, ninth inning, and then all of a sudden we got to get Chapman to go maybe two innings. And, you know, it's just high risk at that point, I thought, where there's no one else that you really trust at that point. Beyond who you have with Britton and Chapman, and then Britton leaves with an injury, and now we got Tyler Lyons warming up. Like, what are we doing here? And he put himself in that position with the fifth inning.
Yeah, and Tyler Lyons was never coming in that game, but it was a two run game for a long time. So had the Yankees put themselves in a situation where they absolutely had to win the game, or else game four was going to be really difficult.
Right.
I mean, burn through all those bullpen arms and not knowing who you were going to be starting. It's like, would they have started Paxton on short rest? Would they have started an opener? Would they have started J-Hap? It would have been really interesting. And we're never going to find out. We're never going to
Thank God we're never going to find out. Nobody wants to know that.
I kind of want to know what their plan was going to be.
I don't care. I don't care, nor do I want to know. What they did today... They did enough. They did exactly what they needed to do to get out. You get Cameron Maybin at the end coming in for defense for Stanton, who
yeah, he got a bloop.
He got a bloop. The first at-bat was pretty goddamn terrible.
Oh, it was one of the worst at-bats I've ever seen.
The final swing was embarrassing. But then you have Maybin coming in for defense and hitting a pop out to left field for a nice insurance run. And then Didi, who was just phenomenal all series, he's been good.
Yeah, all series. I do want to touch on some other stuff from the first two games, because as much as people may have enjoyed those first two podcasts, we didn't really give much analysis. So we're going to talk about that stuff too. First, I want to tell you about Indochino. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't need to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. Scott, I've told you, I've gone into Indochino. I've gotten, they measured me for my suit. And it is, first of all, it's fun when you go in there. You feel like you are a baller. You feel like you're getting something of quality, a quality product. You get to pick out your fabric. You can customize it. You can change up the lining. We know Didi's an Indochino guy. Didi had a massive game. He just continues to murder the Twins. Like, is he the mayor of Minnesota at this point? But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more. And everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. You get to personalize all the details, including your lapel, lining, and your own monograms. They have hundreds of suit options for all occasions, including work, formal events, and even your wedding, which mine is coming up right around the corner. The best part is that they are affordable. Almost all of their custom clothing is under $400. Tell people how they can get a good deal here, Scott.
Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering code Bronx at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Bronx, for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothing that doesn't fit.
So I mentioned the bases-loaded escape that Severino got as a huge turning point. Another one I thought was when Green escaped on that Gleyber LeMahieu play.
Yeah.
In the fifth inning, that was, and that was just an awesome play all around. Gleyber was in short right field. That's where he was shifted. So he made a nice sliding play, but the real hard part of that whole entire thing was that LeMahieu went to cut the ball off, missed it, and had to run back to first base, and then on the fly scoop the thing. I mean, it was a crazy good play by LeMahieu, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of them, it's pretty high level of difficulty for both guys. I mean, with Gleyber, you know, the range, I know he was out on the short grass, but he's you got to go pretty far, and then you got to contort your body to get around that throw and make a strong throw over there. And then yeah, LeMahieu had to kind of go back and forth a couple times and then pick the ball. And the ball's it's a different stretch too, because he's stretching towards the outfield, you know, as he's running towards the bag. So it's not
he kind of like
very natural.
Fell down into the bag and scooped it. I mean, that's a play that I think a lot of first basemen don't make, or they end up blocking it and the guy's safe and maybe a run scores. So I mean, it's just I just don't think it can go unnoticed, that play, and also just the defense overall. The defense, I think, helped out the pitching immensely many, many times tonight.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, the Judge catch in right field, no one else catches that ball. The stupid ass comment by Smoltz talking about Mookie Betts. What are we doing here? What are you even getting that man's name into this?
So angry at Smoltz.
They really hate him.
You know what I did? I just turned the volume pretty much all the way off.
I had it on. I just wasn't paying attention to what they were saying. I definitely let out an occasional shut the F up Smoltz, but just because he says some stupid shit that pisses me off. But I really don't.
We're probably getting him for the ALCS with Buck.
The bottom line is like all of these announcers, when he gets to national broadcasts, like if we're all going to pull our hair out of these guys about their Yankee bias and all that stuff, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
So
don't even worry
just
about
ignore
it.
Him. Just ignore him.
Because it's all like that. It's all like that. But whatever, you know, we should be used to that by now. But yeah, the defense was phenomenal. That the Gleyber, and then Didi in the ninth inning with a diving play up the middle that definitely saves a run, if not two. Or at least, you know, a runner going to third base, and then Nelson Cruz is up, right?
It's like, of course Chapman has to make it interesting in the ninth inning. You got a 4-run lead, and you come in and you give a base hit and walk a guy. It's like,
That's why I didn't want to have to use him for two innings. That's
first time all season he's had to do it.
That's the thing. Like, that when you're putting yourself in that situation and you're burning two guys in the fifth inning, two of your high leverage guys, you're putting yourself in a bad situation for later, especially
against
a team.
He must have not liked – I don't think he liked what he saw out of Canely. Didn't want him to face Nelson Cruz. And definitely – I don't know. This is kind of weird how they're only using Ottavino for a one-batter matchup kind of thing. That's new.
Yeah, I'm just not even – I don't know. Because I think if he – what if he doesn't walk that guy? He might stay in the game. What he's doing is playing himself out of the bullpen and into these situations. When he goes up there and throws four balls – and he's just throwing those frisbees across the plate and everybody's spitting on him and nobody's even taking them seriously anymore, then it's a problem. So,
well, Cruz, he came in to face Cruz, obviously a right-handed hitter, and then Rosario's up after that, who's a lefty, so maybe he didn't want him to face the lefty.
It's possible. I mean, you have Chad Green coming in. I mean, I know the matchup plays better for Green, but it's you can't do anything with a guy that doesn't throw strikes. Like, that's it. So, I mean, it stops there, I think. You know, whatever your plan is with him, whatever it is, it's all blown out the window if you're not throwing strikes as a reliever. And Ottavino's had a problem. That's been his Achilles heel this season.
Yeah, the Twins put so many guys on base tonight and just couldn't come through in any of the situations.
And that's one of the crazy things. We're looking at what this team has done with the long ball. And, you know, I think talking about this series and what we're trying to do is eliminate base runners, because if you could do that, then they're going to hit home runs. You're going to limit the damage of those home runs. But there were base runners all day.
All solo home runs, though, for the Twins.
I know.
The entire series.
They couldn't get these shots in the big moments.
Yeah, I mean, the Twins are certainly, they won 100 games. And this was a stat that they mentioned on the broadcast. And it's actually kind of funny because Rohan and I were talking about it Saturday after the game, that I couldn't remember a 100-win team getting swept in the playoffs. It's happened 8 times, now 9 times. But it's the first time it ever happened in the LDS round that a 100-win team was swept in the playoffs. But it's not every day a 100-win team faces off against a 100-win team in the LDS round. Like, that's a pretty rare occurrence. And when you think about these playoffs, there were 300-win teams in the playoffs. It's just like there's so many... There's more than ever 100-win teams and 100-loss teams in the league overall. So maybe the Twins were an inflated 100-win team, but it's still not easy to win 100 games.
No, but it is easier when you're playing the Detroit Tigers, who were the worst team in baseball, the Kansas City Royals, who were a horrible team, and then the Chicago White Sox, who were a very young team and struggled a lot. So just really one opponent that's worthy in your division. It's a little different than playing some of these other ones. And I know we had the Orioles in ours, but I think the rest of the competition in the AL East was formidable, at least.
Yeah, better than the Central. But some other thoughts, leftover thoughts from games 1 and 2 that we didn't really get to mention. The Yankees offense just wore the Twins pitching down in the first two games. They saw in the first two games 354 pitches and drew 16 walks. That's basically a walk, at least one walk every inning, and about 22 pitches an inning that they saw from Twins pitching.
Control the strike zone, man. That was Boone's mantra from year one, and it's really been one of these Yankee qualities we've seen in a lot of Yankee teams over the past 15, 20 years. These guys work the count. Ever since I've been a Yankee fan watching the Yankee games, it seems like they've had guys that work the count. And that's what makes them so difficult when they get to postseason, because I think it becomes an escalator. And it wears guys out.
Well, it's not what happened tonight. Tonight they were swinging a lot, especially against Odorizzi. I thought Odorizzi looked pretty good.
He did look good, and that's why I'm glad he didn't pitch against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, because I think he would have been a bigger problem at Yankee Stadium. And flipping the kid, because that was what we originally had talked about. Originally, what was rumored that Baldelli was going to do was that Dalbec was going to get game 3 at home, and Odorizzi was going to get game 2 at the stadium. And to me, that made a lot of sense because of the history of Odorizzi. He's pitched at Yankee Stadium and done, he's got experience there. But no, they threw the kid into the gauntlet.
And I think Encarnacion changes the lineup, I think.
Yeah. Not today, but yeah.
No, but in the first two games, he reached base 5 times and he had 4 hits in the two games. And just having him in the middle of the order, I think, changed things. Even he came off cold into the series cold because he didn't get it back from the oblique injury, but he didn't miss a beat. And I just think he's just a force that you see Stanton and you see Sanchez have these lost at bats at times. Like there, Sanchez in the eighth inning with Gleyber after that leadoff double is up there taking big daddy hacks when all he needs to do is hit a fly ball or a ground ball to move the runner over. And he's there trying to hit the ball 700 feet.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that there's a couple guys that, like, you see Encarnacion, who does work the count like a just he's, we've said this 100 times. He's a pro. He's an assassin. He's a pro hitter. And when you have guys like him, you have guys like LeMahieu, who didn't look good today offensively, but, you know, works the count, does his job up at the plate. You got some guys in there who are just unbelievably professional hitters. And now that you're seeing what Gleyber can do, because he was unbelievable tonight. I mean, he is the budding superstar of this team on the offensive side. And I think we're kind of seeing him come to age, and hopefully he can continue this. If he can do this against some good pitching in the next round, like I think we're kind of witnessing that year from a young guy, but he's so much fun to watch. And I think, like, having those guys, like you're talking about, those guys that can work the count, having them around a guy like Gleyber is so good for his development.
So any final thoughts from this Twin series? We're going to do a whole ALCS preview podcast, like I said, for after we find out who they're playing. It'll probably be out later this week, Thursday or Friday, depending on, because the if it goes to game 5, that would be Thursday night, right? For the Rays Astros. So let's just say Friday is when the ALCS preview podcast will be out.
Yeah, that works. We'll record it on Thursday so that we can, it'll be out on Friday. But the Twins are who we thought they were, I guess, that of years past, or maybe I should say the Twins aren't who we thought they might be this year, which is different because they're not. They're the same Twins. They're the same hopeless Twins that can't win a game in the postseason.
We saw the home run numbers. We saw the road record. We saw the Rocco Ball Deli. It's like all these new guys on there. But no, still same uniform, same colors, same ballpark, same fans.
Was Ronald Torres even on their postseason roster?
He was not on their roster, and I did not see a shot of him in the dugout today. Don't know if they showed a shot of him in the first two games.
Big mistake. big mistake. Probably the mistake of the series for the Minnesota Twins. If they wanted any shot, Ronald Torres had to be on that team. And I mean, that's pretty well known. I don't know how Baldelli missed that one, but that's a big swing point for the Yankees at that, when we don't see a little toe over there. I think it would have made some guys nervous on our side. Judge would have felt bad.
So obviously excited to sweep the Twins, but I was just watching. I was trying to catch. Yes, they were showing the clubhouse, and guys are popping champagne and spraying each other, and obviously look excited. But I don't know about you, but my mentality is like, yeah, this was expected. This was necessary. This is a necessary stepping stone to the next thing.
Well, yes, that is it. You have
no,
to.
No, you're excited, but you're not. You're excited, but you're also just like, all right, let's get to the next one now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think them spraying champagne or any of that crap has anything to do with the mentality of what.
No, I'm talking about you and me. I'm talking about me, my mentality right now. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I'm happy they swept the Twins, but
we all, like, as fans, we all expected that. Is what you're saying? Yeah,
we expected the series win, whether it's a sweep, 4 or whatever. We expected the Yankees to beat the Twins because we knew they were a better team. And yeah. I expect the Astros to beat the Rays, whether it's in 4 or 5. They're on a collision course with the Astros. Just want to see that series. Just let's get mano a mano. Let's see what happens.
I do want to see that series because I feel like they are the best team, and I kind of want to go through that team right now. Although, that being said, I don't care who we play. As long as they beat each other up and we get a battered team, I'm good with that. You know, nobody remembers that crap. I want the best opportunity for the Yankees to make to the World Series. And you know what? They should be rewarded. They should be rewarded because what they did is they took care of business in the shortest amount of time that you could possibly take care of business. And the other two teams are still dicking around in the trap and, you know, doing whatever they got to do out there. So, you know, what the Yankees did is took care of business. And it was a very big game for them, I think, because if they didn't do this, now they're losing a potential, you know, they're losing a potential one-up on the next team if they were to have lost tonight and just had to play one more game.
I also think there's a good chance they would have gone back to Yankee Stadium had they lost tonight, because I don't know what the pitching situation was for game four.
I mean, maybe, but the either way, just one more game still puts a wrench into what you could have been, you know, for the ALCS. And that's fully rested, fully planned out, fully ready to go with whatever you got. And now everybody who is, you know, feeling an injury or you know, a little sore or beat up or whatever, got time now, got some days off. That's huge.
Yes.
If you can get some days off like this.
Thank you. Thank God.
For all of us. If you can get some days off at this point, I think for especially the Yankees with the amount of injuries that they've had, like that's a good thing. I'm not worried about too much time off with this team right now. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, you could probably hear it in both me and Scott's voices that we've had. We're still feeling the effects of the weekend. And I think a few days of sleep and not staying up until 1 in the morning will do us quite well.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. But no, this, you know, recapping the rest of it, like this weekend was just unbelievable. It was so much fun at the stadium. That place was alive. It's just really cool to see Yankee Stadium popping like it used to. Cause it does feel like that when you're there. It's, the energy is incredible at Yankee Stadium when the Yankees are going, the fan base, they come out, man. Everybody who was there was giving it all. So
Our section was on fire.
Our section was on fire, but the rest of the stadium was. I mean, I've seen, you know, shots of other places in the stadium. The whole stadium brought it, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great series win. Like we said, enjoy the couple days off. We'll be back with another podcast previewing on Friday the ALCS. We will talk to you.
And one more thing. One more thing.
What's one more thing?
We've got ALCS tickets. We still have ALCS tickets. There are some left. There are not a lot left, but there are some left. So if you are still looking to get these tickets, the price right now is $250. That price may not stay where it is for much longer. So I would not hesitate. If you're on the email list, go gobble those up and get those seats, because they do count. It's $250 right now. The package as it stands currently is $250. You get a beanie that is not meant for the game, because the turnaround time is just too quick. I'm trying to get it by that game, but it's not likely just because the turnaround time is so fast for printing something that's custom like this, also a 2020 game against the Minnesota Twins. So it's a good deal, and I think the secondary market's up to like $350+. So,
oh yeah, so I looked before game three against the Twins, and the same section was going for $300+. So now that they've clinched, it's got to be going for $350.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy what they're selling it for. And again, we're not selling them on the secondary markets, not right now at least, unless you guys don't buy tickets at a much lower rate.
If you want to go to the ALCS, there's no reason not to buy these tickets. Yeah. It's a good seat. You're sitting with 200+.
Yeah, we have 225 tickets.
Group of people, like, you saw what it looked like on TV at game two. Like, don't you want to be a part of that? And also, it's cheaper than going on these other secondary sites.
Yeah, pretty much. So do that. Get on if you haven't gotten on the mailing list, I'm gonna put it up on Twitter. If you are on the mailing list, you should have all the links and all the passwords to get to the listings. The reason why we keep them back and keep them under kind of a password and security like that is because, one, I don't want brokers getting a hold of them, and two, I don't want opponent teams getting a hold of them. I'm trying to control these seats a little bit so that we can get our good Yankees fans in there. That's the reason we're doing this. We want good Yankees fans in there, trying to give you guys a good deal and watch a hell of a game with some good people. That's the intent. That's the reason why we're doing this. So gobble them up, because if you don't, I got to sell them somehow, some way after that, if we're not getting them. I don't expect that to happen by any means. They'll probably be gone by tomorrow, honestly, but go grab them. And there was one more thing I was going to say about those tickets. I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
So they're for home games 1 and 2, and obviously that changes depending on who they play. If they play the Rays, it's the games 1 and 2 of the series. If they play the Astros, it's games 3 and 4 of the series. So go MLB.com/postseason schedule. You can see all the schedule when those games would be. So it's not hard to figure out, but that's just the situation that we're currently dealing with.
And then if you're not finding the subscribe links or any of that stuff, you can always email us at info@bronxpinstripes.com. You can get a hold of me, I can get you all the information from there as well if you are having trouble find it. But yeah, this is going to be fun. And a lot of people have been asking me about World Series tickets and how that's going to work. And I will know more about that soon, very soon, because now that they've clinched, the Yankees and their box office will start moving forward to the series after, because that's how this has worked. You know, when we originally talked about this, it was that we were not going to release the tickets until they clinched. And unfortunately, the tune has changed from the team a little bit, and we have to do some things ahead of it. So with the World Series tickets, they will be, again, we have on reserve 225 tickets for Games 1 and Games 2, home Games 1 of both of those. If you want those tickets, definitely sign up for these mailing lists, because you're going to have to commit to them a little early. We're not going to be able to wait until the ALCS is finished. This is not going to work out for the way that they are asking for upfront stuff. So just prepare for that. They're going to be available, but you're going to have to commit to them early. There will be obviously refunds back if they do not make the World Series, but that's just kind of the deal and how it's going to work.
All right, awesome stuff. We will talk to you in a few days.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter @BronxPinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.